Praise the Lord.
Who I am so glad is ahead of my life.
Hey, praise the Lord.
To the Son Jesus Christ, whereby I have eternal life. And to the Holy Spirit, who makes all the changes and enables me to be saved. This may not be a long lesson, but it's something that came to me in prayer a couple of days ago. I was reading. I have a devotional that comes to my phone. Pastor Richard Warren, I think, is his name, and he said something that I thought was very interesting. But tonight I'm going to talk about God's word, and I would hope to encourage you to read the word of God. Read it often. Matter of fact, if you need to, get you an app that, you know, one of those 365-day apps where you read the Bible in a year. Usually it makes you read Psalms twice. And, you know, some of it may be a little bit hard to get through, but you should still read the Word of God. And what I like what Pastor Warren said, he said when we pray, we shouldn't think of prayer as a monologue, because it's a conversation that we have with God. And in conversation, we should expect God to speak back to us, right? But what I like about what he said is that we're not waiting on some big booming voice to, you know, rain down on us, you know, out of the sky somewhere, or some, you know, we're trying to hear God in the wind, or, you know, or an earthquake, you know, like the prophet. But he said something that makes a lot of sense. He said, how do we let God talk to us? Well, through the word of God.
Amen.
He said, the Bible is where everything God wants to say to us has already been written. You know, not that the Spirit doesn't speak to us, you know, yes, from time to time. But when he does, what does he remind us of? The Word of God.
Yes.
So everything we need in life, every answer we ever wanted to know, everything, you know, besides all the things that we won't find out until we are changed from mortal to immortal and we're living throughout all eternity, God covers it all. Mm-hmm. You know, and let me see. Prayer and scripture go hand in hand, such that if you have a good prayer life, it should also follow that you have a good Bible studying habit. You know, that you should be complementing one with the other to find out what God is saying in response to your prayer, or to fortify your prayer, or to gain revelation about what's going on in your life. And the other thing about reading our Bible is that it's not possible to build a relationship with God unless you read his word.
That's right.
You're just not going to understand God unless you read all about him. It's like anything else in life. If you want to learn how to do something, for instance, my mother came and stumbled upon some extra cake containers of sour cream. So she went and found herself a recipe to make a sour cream pound cake. I don't think she knew it by heart. She could have winged it if she wanted to. But, like she just said, she's never made one. So she had to go find out how that's done, right? Well, as we've been studying with Bishop Smith, we are inundated with corruption just because we are descendants of Adam. Such that when we come to God, we don't know how to live for God.
Yeah.
Just like my mother had to go and look up that recipe to do something with that sour cream. We have to go look up what God intends for us in order for us to live for him.
Yes.
And so, therefore, he gave us the word of God.
Yes.
He went through all the trouble. Well, it wasn't trouble, but, you know, bear with me. Of inspiring different people at different times to write pieces of the word of God. And, you know, throughout time, I'm not Ella Bishop Bruner. I don't know all everything. But I know that throughout time, things have been added and taken away from, you know, these Jewish writings and but God knew what he was doing, because he preserved the pieces of writing that matter to him and that will lead us and guide us in our journey in understanding who we are in God. Right? So we need the word of God. We pray and ask God for answers to know his will. Therefore, our faith should compel us to search the word of God. So, you know, I read this. It says, stop looking for a sign and start looking for a scripture. To figure things out, right?
Yes.
Stop waiting on a vision and look up a verse.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The more we read God's word, the more we know what to do. So I'm going to take you to some scriptures that talk about the word of God. There are several of them. David spends a lot of time in Psalms, and I'll get to that later. But let's go first to Hebrews. And I'll just stay with the King James Version tonight. I think Hebrews is on my Bible. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and the 12th verse, right? And it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So let's stop on this word quick. For the word of God is quick. In other words, the word of God is alive.
Yes.
It's a living document. So when we talk about a living document now, we talk about, oh, well, it's a living document because we keep making changes to it as necessary. But that's not the kind of living document the word of God is.
Yes.
The word of God is a living document because everything in it is true yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Yes.
And the word of God is right, regardless of how I feel about it.
Yes.
And his way is perfect, so it's alive.
Yes.
And when you read it along with the Spirit, the word should just jump off the page and grab you. It's alive.
Yes.
You know, it has power. And I just said that, and powerful, right? And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of man and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So I'd like to say that the word of God is a two-edged sword, and it separates what's me and what's God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Such that when I come to it, he's able to show me, okay, this is you. And this is what I need for you to be. This is who I need for you to become. It separates those things.
Yes.
Right? And it's sharper than any two-edged. There's no other document that can do that.
Yes.
Right? It's the word of God. And then it says, okay, I just read that. So now let's go to Isaiah 55. And this is Bible study. And it's talking about God's word again, and it says, 55:10, starting the 10th verse. It says, is everybody there?
Yes.
Amen. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall proper in the thing whereto I send it. So I told my father the other day, God is the greatest visionary who ever lived.
Yes. And that's true.
Such that whatever he puts his mind to, it's going to happen.
Yes.
When he created the world and appointed man to be in the place where he is, he had a vision for mankind.
Yes. Yes.
He knew what he was doing. And it's still going on today, and it's not going to return to him void. Right? Everything that God speaks, he speaks it for. He's very deliberate in the things that he does, unlike ourselves. He has a reason and a purpose for doing everything. So in his word, it's the same way. There's a reason and a purpose for every word of God. And I can believe every word of God, and I can trust in God's word, because everything he says, it's not going to come back void. It's not going to stop. It's not going to end. What God says is going to happen, right? Because it's the way he wants it to be.
Yeah.
And I've also found out in my lifetime that anything God does for me is a whole lot better than what I can do for myself.
Yes.
So I'm encouraged to follow the word of God, because whatever he says is going to happen, it's going to happen.
Amen.
You know? So another verse is in Proverbs 30:5. Mm-hmm. everybody there?
Amen.
No. Me and GG up there.
Okay. All right.
Every word of God is pure. I'm going to say that again. Every word of God is pure. In another place it said God is, what is it, there's no shadow of turning in him. There's no variableness with him. You can't, even though there are portions of the word of God that you can apply to several things, it's still one truth that reaches that far. It's not because there are, you know, 39,000 interpretations of the word of God. No, what he speaks is pure. It's the truth. The way it is. That's the way it is. God, like my dad says, doesn't have an opinion. What he says is what it is. It's pure. We can trust it. We can hope in it. We can be encouraged by it. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him because his word is pure. And because his word is pure, it doesn't come back to him void. We can trust in everything that he says. And we can also believe that God always has our best intentions at heart. He's not going to steer us wrong. Like I heard Bishop Smith say not too long ago that, you know, when God points something out to us that we need to let go of, we shouldn't get sad about it. But we should believe that God's word is pure, and that if it's something that I need to let go of, he's definitely going to replace it with something a whole lot better.
Amen.
Yes. Because his word is pure.
Yes.
And he has, like I said, my best interest at heart. Right? In another place, Luke 4:4, where Jesus is also using the word of God. Jesus used the word of God, so what's our excuse? And Jesus answered him, saying, talking to the devil.
What verse?
Oh, 4:4. Luke 4:4. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. When I think about, you know, bread or anything that's consumptive, that goes away once you consume it, it's gone, it's never coming back. I think about when Jesus encounters a woman at the well and he's encouraging her. He said, you know, if you keep drinking that water, you're going to thirst again.
Yeah.
But if you drink the water that I give you, it'll spring up within you unto eternal life. In other words, you'll always be satisfied.
Yeah.
And when I look at this verse, I know Jesus is rebuking the devil, but I also see that, you know, a lot of times we try to eat bread. In other words, we try to apply our own fixes to our, and find our own solutions to our problems, which might work for a little while, you know, but we can't live by that because it's temporal. It's going to go away. But we have to live according to the word of God, which is pure and which is eternal and which will never come to naught and will never come back to him void, and that will go out and do what he intends for it to do.
Yes.
Isn't that a lot better to lean and depend on than our own ways? In other ways, it says, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. That's also talking about the word of God. You know, because those, like I started off saying that these are the things that when you have the Holy Ghost, this is what he brings back to your mind.
Yes.
So, you know, get that app and read your Bible 365 days a year so the Spirit has something to bring back to your mind.
Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right.
You know, I've gotten better over the years, but, you know, it's not enough to just come to church and hear what, you know, someone else is saying about the Word of God. You read the little 4 or 5 scriptures while you're there. But you ought to get deep in the Word of God. And look up all the words that you don't understand. And like Bishop Smith is encouraging us, you know, get the translations, you know, that break things down and make things sound like we speak today, you know. And what I like, in sidebar, what I like about the New and Living Translations where Romans is concerned, my gosh, I think that out of all the translations that whoever created that did, that's one of the best ones. If you want to understand Romans and look at it in a really good, plain light, read it in the New and Living Translation, of course next to the King James Version, but those words will just jump off of the page, and the more you dig in it, the more you believe it, and the better you feel,
yeah,
right? Yeah, you begin to gain understanding.
Yeah.
So Jesus, You know, he says this, and he's quoting Deuteronomy. He says that we, you know, we can't live by bread alone. Yes. Like he told that woman, you know, if you keep drinking this water, you're going to thirst again.
Yes.
You have to have the word of God. Yes. You know, you have to understand God's will for you through the word of God. So another point that I want to make is that Jesus learned who he was by searching the scriptures.
Yes.
And if you turn to Psalm 47 through 8, Psalm verse 7. And this is prophetic, right? David is speaking, but you can apply this to the Messiah.
Yeah.
And he said, "Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me." Jesus, if he had never read the scriptures, he wouldn't have known who he was. And it's the same for us. If we don't read the scriptures, we won't know who we're supposed to be in God. And he goes on to say, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law." In other words, the word of God is within my heart.
Yes.
So those go together, that in order, once I become a new creature in Christ, I must read the word of God to understand who I am in God. And once I understand that, and once and I allow the Spirit to continue to enlighten me according to his word, then I begin to delight in him, right? And my will to obey him increases. And that's the other thing. Jesus is saying, you know, the law is within my heart. It has to be more than just something I put to memory.
Yeah.
You know, I have to mix it with allow the Spirit to give me revelation concerning it, so that it becomes part of who I am. It's within my heart.
Yes.
It's just not something that I know. Yes. It is something that I believe in, someone that I'm becoming.
Yes.
Through the word of God. So Paul prays for the saints at Ephesus. You know, he has all these prayers in all of his letters. You know, because these are the eyes of their understanding as newly acquainted sons of God would be enlightened. You know?
Yes, yes.
Because they wouldn't know, just like my mom with the pound cake. She didn't know how to make a sour cream pie until she looked it up.
Yes.
So turn to Ephesians 2:17 through 19. Sorry, 1:17 through 19. I wrote it down wrong.
Okay.
My iPad's old, so it keeps taking me back to where I don't want to be. Okay, 1:17 through 19. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory," Paul is praying for the saints, "may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." And it goes on. The enlightenment doesn't just drop out of the sky. Enlightenment comes from studying the word of God. You can pray, you can fast, but if you're not also reading the word of God, then again, the Spirit has nothing to bring back to you to compare it with, to mix it with. We have to, and also that means, so he's praying this prayer for them. So when we're reading the Holy, when we're reading the Word of God, we have to allow the Spirit to give us understanding concerning it. That's how this verse works. This is how we're enlightened, right? So the Word of God is what we should be building our entire lives upon, because it's God's way of showing us not only ourselves, but also showing us himself.
Yes.
Where we're concerned, right? And then I found this, and I said, well, perhaps we don't like reading the Bible because while it's easy to dismiss the evil and wickedness we see on television, because we can detach from it, you know, when we turn the TV off, It's not so easy to dismiss the evil when we read it in the Bible and are compelled to see ourselves.
Yes, yes.
That's a little bit harder to do. Like, oh, no, that's not me. But it is me.
It is me, yes.
And that's God's intention. He wants us to feel that way. Well, if you had a Holy Ghost, you feel that way.
Yes.
And it's God's design to do that. He puts these stories in there. He talks about when David, you know, fell with Bathsheba and then had her husband killed. And he talks about, talks about the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. He puts all those things in there. Talks about how they raped that woman and put her body out. I can't remember her name. But there's some really bad stuff in there. And God does this to show us of all the evil and the corruptness that's in this world,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And what else did I put? Yeah, it was when we read the Bible, we are compelled to see ourselves. We are compelled to consider our ways.
Yes, yes, yes.
And God says that too. He says, look at yourself.
Yes.
Look at how you're acting.
Yes.
Am I that unreasonable? Look at yourself.
Yes.
And we don't like that.
No.
But it's supposed to make us uncomfortable.
Yes.
You won't change if you don't feel uncomfortable, and that's a problem too.
Yes.
If you read the Word of God, you go through all these lists that are in the New Testament where Paul lists off all these sins, and you don't feel any twinge of discomfort. I endeavor to examine myself.
Yes.
So he puts this stuff in here. He puts in it so we can see that, or realize the evil choices that we make, our stubbornness, our carnality, and so forth, right? But it's there to mold us and to shape us and perfect us in God's holiness. The Bible allows us to see ourselves and the world beyond our own skewed perceptions. Maybe we get it in our mind that things are a certain way, but then we read the Word of God and figure out, no, I shouldn't look at it like that.
That's right.
That's not what did Jesus do? That's not what Jesus would do.
No.
So he puts these things in there for our example. But beyond God showing us the bad things about ourselves, God gave us his Word to also reveal the good things he has in store for us. Right? But being in him and what he promises if we stay in his will. In John, he tells us about his forgiveness. Turn to John 1 and 9. Okay. Well, that wasn't the scripture I thought it was, but this one works too. Talking about Jesus, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. Talking about Jesus, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But, this is about us, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's a good thing.
Yes.
That even though we are in this corrupt world, after he gets done showing us ourselves, he said, but that's okay. I've given you something to remedy all those issues.
Yes.
I am enabling you to become one of mine through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Right? Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It was God's design. And he also tells us about his love for us in John 3:16. If you want to turn there. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. He doesn't want us to perish. But he wants us to have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is good news, y'all.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's the good news that comes from the Word of God.
Yes.
That will not come back void. This is really going to happen to us. This is happening for us right now. Right? Mm-hmm. In Ephesians, he reveals his faithfulness, kindness, and grace. And I won't go through all of them, but if you read Ephesians, the first and the second chapter, it tells us about our identity in him and how he predestinated us, that if we obey him, we're going to spend eternity with him.
Yes.
Right, that's there. In Romans, he shows us exactly what sin is.
Yes, he does.
Not to make us feel bad about it unless you're doing it,
right.
But to show us what to avoid, mm-hmm. and to make us understand the things that displease him. Right?
Yes.
But what I like about God is when he shows us these things, he always gives us a remedy for those things. And it's always Jesus Christ. Lo and behold, in the book it is written of me. The whole thing is about Jesus.
Jesus, yes.
And his plan for man, and God's plan for mankind. It all comes back to Jesus.
Jesus, yes.
And Jesus is our answer.
Yes, he is. Yes.
For everything.
Yes, yes.
So he shows us exactly what sin is and gives us the tools we need to avoid sin while also distinguishing the difference between the deeds of sin and the power of sin.
Yes,
and what it takes also to go free from sin. All the answers, everything we need in life is in the Word of God. And throughout his Word, God gives us examples, you know, in addition to all of this, to increase our faith. He gives us examples of victory in impossible situations.
Yes.
You know, he made the sun stand still so that they could finish the battle.
Yeah, yeah.
When the Israelites were facing the Red Sea, I'm sure they had no idea. I mean, can you imagine? There weren't no boats anywhere. It was too far to swim.
Yeah.
That was the last thing on their mind, that God was going to part the water so they could go across.
Impossible situation.
But God made a way out of literally no way. I think in Isaiah it talks about he made a highway in the desert.
Yes.
He made a way out of no way. That's encouraging. And he also shows us what happens as a result of fervent, effectual prayer, like when Hannah prayed for her son,
yes.
to have a son.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he gives us those stories like that, where women who couldn't have a baby, they cried out to God, and God had mercy on them and allowed them to have, you know, the desires of their hearts.
Yes.
He puts that in there. He shows us what happens when we are faithful and wait on him in uncomfortable situations. Like when he elevated Joseph to a place of honor after having lived in servitude for his whole entire life.
Yes, yes.
Because Joseph was faithful to God, he elevated him despite his circumstances.
Yes, yes.
He shouldn't have been there, but he was because God put him there.
Yeah,
yes. Best of all, he gives us Jesus, right, in the Word of God.
Yes.
And teaches us about our chance for eternal life through him. And he reveals his great power through the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
There's no greater power than when God raised Jesus from the dead.
Yes.
And if God can do that, he can, well, my little old issues, okay.
Yes.
With God, nothing is impossible.
Yes.
But I would not know that. I mean, we can hear these Bible stories all we want to. But until we dig in and start to really read those for ourselves and mix it with our faith and mix it with, you know, and allow the Spirit to open our eyes, there are many, 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 many lessons to be learned. You can read the story about the woman at the well, and I've gotten so many different things from it. I've read it 1,000 times, and every time I get something else.
Yes.
Because the Spirit just gives and gives and gives and gives and gives if you allow him to.
Yes.
If you allow him to, he'll help you grow.
Yes.
And prosper. The Word of God washes and cleanses us.
Yes,
turn to
yes,
Ephesians 5:26 through 27. And you know, I can attest, and it'll give you peace too, because I can attest to this, that sometimes, you know, you're going through things, and, you know, or you just maybe not having the world's greatest day. We're in the earth. Everything's not always, you know, copacetic. And I can start reading anywhere. I can start reading, you know, I've been reading Isaiah to Timaeus. And just by reading the Word of God and hearing about God, it starts to wash me and cleanse me, and I start to have peace. And I start to think about, oh, you know, how God is going to come back and we're going to reign with Jesus forever. He puts all these things, because I read the Word of God, the Spirit is able to bring these to my mind and comfort me. Right? In Ephesians 25 and 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, talking about the church, with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church. Hello. Not having spot or wrinkle. All the corruption ceases.
Yeah.
or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We can't get there without the word of God that washes and cleanses us. And he goes on and he's talking about something else. And if you turn to Psalms 119 and 9, and if you ever get a chance, you should read Psalm 119. I'll talk a little bit about it in a minute. And David is saying, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How do I get clean? After being among the world all day long, how do I get clean? After making a mistake, saying something I shouldn't have said, how do I get clean? After being around people who, you know, don't have faith like I do, how do I get clean? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Right? And he goes on to say, with my whole heart have I sought thee, or let me not wander from thy commandments. He's talking about God's word. That when we dig into the word of God, it starts to wash us and cleanse us. It gives us the desire to live for him. That's how we cleanse our way. If you never read your Bible, you know, the Bible is also a mirror. There's a verse in there that talks about, you know, we sit there and we see it, but when we walk away, we forgot what we were.
Yeah.
That's why we have to hide God's word in our heart, it says in another place, that we won't sin against him. Let me memorize, you know, the scriptures and wear them on our heads like the phylacteries like they used to do. No, that means let it become a part of you.
Yes.
Let it sink in.
Yes.
And let it influence you. When we read about God's promises, the word encourages us and gives us peace. And the word of God tells us also about heaven.
Yes.
And eternal life and what we can expect in the ages to come. You know, we find out the whole point of living saved. You know?
Yes.
It's not so we can sit on the front row and sing in the choir and be on the usher board and get recognition here. No, it's so that when we get to heaven, we can get recognition from God.
Yes.
He can say to everybody there, look at my child. I'm so proud of her. Look what she did. She overcame.
Yes.
You know, enter into the gates of heaven. Come on in.
Yes.
You know, be with me for it throughout eternity. I can't even fathom what that's like. And I want to leave you with this because, you know, time constraints, I wouldn't have time to read the entire Psalm 119. But if you have a date Bible, I want to go there and you can read Psalm 119 in your own time. And if you look at the reference for verse 105, there are 48 descriptions of the word of God. And it talks about, you know, David talking about this, and I'll just go through some of them. The first one, of course, is the law of the Lord. In other words, this is his statutes for how we live. It's a record of his testimonies, which means it talks about his greatness, his faithfulness, you know, and his kindness toward us. It's a revelation of his ways. It tells us how he is, you know, what he expects. You know, Bishop Smith uses the analogy that he's a parent. He is a parent. He invented parenting. You know, he's our father. You know, the word of God tells us how he is and how he deals with us and what he's expecting from us. It's a code of his precepts, a list of his statutes. You know, what are God's standards, you know, for our lives? It's all in here. It's the sum of his commandments, right? The righteous judgments of God, his judgments. You know, if you do this and do this, this is what's going to happen. And that's not always a bad thing. It also means that if you obey my will, I'll give you the desires of your heart. If you delight yourself in me, I'll give you everything that you need. You know, I have everything for you. He also says, cast all your cares upon me. Those are also commandments.
Right.
So it's not always about bad things or evil things. It's the source of cleansing. We talked about that. The word of God is the source of cleansing. If you need to get clean, you've been going through some things, you're troubling your mind, just pick up your Bible and start reading. It doesn't matter where. If you have the Holy Spirit, it'll start to cleanse your mind. You start to go free. You start to want to go on. You're encouraged. And you just feel better. It makes you feel good. Right? It's our connection to God. It's the words of God, literally. You know, there are places in the Bible where the prophets come forth and it says the word of God came saying thus. It's the actual literal words of God speaking through people. David refers to the Bible as being a ready counselor.
Yes.
You know, there are words about practical living in the Bible. If you read Proverbs, it tells you, you know, you shouldn't be a gossiper, and here's why, and stay away from unsavory men and women, and, you know, don't provoke your children to wrath because, you know, they're going to rebel. I mean, practical living stuff is in the Bible.
That's true.
You know? It's a ready counselor. It also imparts wisdom. It's the source of life. The Word of God is living. The source of life here now and the source of eternal life. It's a history of God's wondrous works. You know, from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he saw that it was good, and he created all these things, and he made it just right. He made the conditions perfect for human living. Because he loved us. It is a tower of strength, the way of truth. The Bible does not lie. It is what it is. If you lie, you're going to go to hell. It's the truth. If you live right, you're going to go to heaven. It's the truth. It's the way of God. It's the way of righteousness. God wouldn't say, be holy as I am holy, and then not tell you how.
That's right.
It's the way of righteousness.
Amen.
It's the way of salvation.
Yes.
In life and through Jesus Christ. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It also says in another place that if you can believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. It's the way of salvation. Word of God.
Yes.
It's a true trust. You can read further about the word of truth, the source of hope. Oh man, source of hope. Especially right now, it's a source of hope. When I can't read the news, I can pick up my Bible and read the source of
hope
and find out where I'm going to spend all eternity and how God lifts me up and he keeps me up. It's a source of comfort.
Yes,
he's the God of all comfort. The Word of God. It's the subject of songs. You know, David sings these songs about the Word of God. It's the foundation of good judgment and knowledge. If you're not so sure how to do something, speak the Word of God and find out what God thinks about it. It's a source of delight. The Word of God will make you happy. It's encouraging. It's something better than riches. Why? Because riches are temporal and God's word endures forever.
Yes.
Riches make you happy for a little while.
Yep.
But once your paycheck is gone, then you got to go back to the Word of God. It's a book of promised mercies. His mercies are new every morning. And I need, God knows I need his mercy. It is a testimony of his mouth, an eternal plan. It's not going to change. I started off talking about his word doesn't come back to him void. It's an eternal plan. God already is the greatest visionary ever lived. Satan is going to burn in hell, be chained in hell forever. God already said it. There, have that, right? It also says that Jesus has everything under his feet. He's got it all in control. It's his eternal plan. We don't have to worry because it's an eternal plan. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. It's eternal. An unforgettable code of laws, something infinite in its scope, it means that it has no limits. The sky is the limit to what I can have. It's a source of wisdom, a source of knowledge, something sweeter than honey. A lamp to the feet shows you what to do, right? Light unto the pathway of life, an eternal heritage. A source of joy, condition, if obeyed. It's a source of not joy if you're not obeying.
That's right.
A stay in trouble, it means it grounds you when you're going through things in life, as you're going to encounter things in this life, because we still have to live in this world, but it'll ground you and keep you settled. It'll strengthen you and comfort you. Something to be feared, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death.
Yes, amen.
That's pretty scary. You might want to figure out how to be free from sin and yet live.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
The word of God's righteousness, something to be loved more than silver and gold. Again, that goes back to that temporal thing. It's something wonderful.
Yes, it is.
You know, wonderful from the aspect that we don't always understand it. You know, why God chooses to do the things the way he does or why he loves us the way he does. It's wonderful.
Wonderful.
He's a wonder in my soul.
Yeah,
it's the source of light. Something understandable to the simple. So we have no excuse.
it's
understandable.
Understandable.
Dace was a huge proponent of reading the Word of God and taking it literally for what it says and not trying to apply some strange new phenomenon to things that can just be easily explained by simply reading it.
Yes.
A code of laws for the upright. It shows us how we're supposed to live. It's a righteous and faithful testimony of God. It's the pure word of God, and it's the truth from the beginning.
Yes.
Goes back to where he said earlier that it is eternal. Yes. So that's all I have for you tonight. I hope you got something out of it to encourage you to read the word of God.
Yes.
And that when you're in prayer, think about it as not being a monologue. We're not just down there. It's just a one-sided conversation. And like I said, at times the Spirit does speak to you, but more so than that, usually when he speaks to you, he's bringing scriptures to your mind.
That's right, amen.
And those are your answers a lot of times to whatever it is that you're seeking God for. So open up your Bible and read what God has to say about us and about himself.
Yes.
And you won't, it won't steer you wrong.
Amen.
God's word is right every time.
Right.
He's right about everything.
Yes.
And he knows me better than I know myself because he created me.
Yes.
And like I said before, he put everything that's in there, it's in there intentionally. It's deliberate.
Yes.
Because there have been many, many, many writings. There's what the lost books, they call them sometimes. They didn't make it in.
Yes.
For whatever reason, God didn't think that was necessary for us to know. But the necessary thing, the things that help us get to know God better, the lessons, the stories, the encouragement, the promises, the hope, the light, the truth, they're all in the Word of God.
Amen.
Please stand. I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this Word tonight, oh God. Lord, I ask that you bless us right now, Lord. Lord, we come before you tonight, lifting our hands before you, O God, and bringing our needs before you, Lord God, and bringing our minds before you, O God, and bringing our hearts before you, O God. And Lord, you know everything that's there, O God. And Lord, I ask that you meet the weightiest of the matters, O God. Lord, perfect all those things that concern us, O God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask that you give us a mind to read your word, O Lord. Lord, in the upcoming weeks, Lord, give us a mind to study your word, oh Father. And Lord, honor our faithfulness in studying your word by providing even greater light and stronger revelation of the things that you have to say to us through your word, oh God. Lord, move in us by your spirit through your word, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, and give us the mind to obey your word, oh Father, and to trust in your promises, oh Lord. Sometimes we think we trust you, but we find out that we don't trust you the way that we should, oh God. Lord, help us to trust you more, oh Father. Lord, increase our faith, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, do something good in our lives, oh God, such that we have no other choice but to say, truly, that was a move of God. Lord, move right now. Lord, heal our bodies, oh Lord. Those that are sick among us, oh God. Lord, heal right now, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, send perfect soundness, Lord. Let us be healed completely from all of these ailments and these sicknesses and these diseases, oh God, and these things that come upon us because we live in this earth, oh God. And Lord, continue to keep us from this old nasty plague, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, not only keep us from the plague, but Lord, keep us from the people that have the mindset that arrives with the plague, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, keep us safe, oh God. And encamp your angels round about us. Lord, watch over our children as we have to send them to school, oh God. In the name of Jesus, as we have to encounter these people on a day-to-day basis. And Lord, I ask that you bless promise, oh God, send saints, oh Lord, from the north and the south and the east and the west, and Lord, into all the other churches, oh Lord, that are joining us this evening. Lord, just bless us in Jesus' name. Lord, because we love you and we honor you, oh Lord, as a true and living God. Lord, we love you. Oh Lord, I love you so much, and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And Lord, you prove to us time and time again that there is nobody like you. And Lord, you're so good and so wonderful. And Lord, we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn the service over to Bishop Smith.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God for his goodness and his mercy tonight. Thank God for mercy. I love the word of God tonight. One thing that she said, that there are many things that I really like. And anytime you're in the word of God, I love it. Just go from scripture to scripture. But the one thing that she said that I know for sure, if you don't read and study the word of God, how, in what way will the Spirit communicate with you?
Yes, that's right.
How will he be able to convince you or to convict you?
Yes.
And if you don't read the word of God, how will you compare and know when someone is telling you the truth and when they're not?
Yes.
How will you, if you don't read enough of the word of God, how will you know even when they speak the word of God that they're using it according to the Spirit and the way of the Lord?
Yes.
The word of God is what the Spirit is judged by, and the Spirit is judged according to the word of God, and the word of God is judged according to the Spirit.
Amen.
You need both, and so if you
will
never get into the word of God like she did tonight and look at all the things that the word that the Lord says. When you need comfort, how will you know that God will comfort you? And there's so many other things that go on. So I thank God for his goodness and his mercy tonight. I thank God for all of you. Praise the Lord. And thank God for Minister Smith. And certainly for the word of God. I told you before, use her and Elvis Smith and Elle Reed more often, especially on Tuesday night. Because I love, as long as they'll get up and anyone can get up and give me the word of God. I think that's just a wonderful thing to behold. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.